got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Oh, I poked myself in the finger. I was adding some ad-libbing
sound effects.
Yeah. Try to bop my mouth like
that was karma.
Yeah, it really hurts. Anyway, you're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Scott has a very different voice this week because he's being played and portrayed by Alyssa Sanchez, co-host of Nick Snacks, which will air right after The Nerd Show. We've got special guests. See, I poke my lip. Now I can't speak. Chris Smith, but behind the glass, the man, the myth, Micah. And we're also known as, well, me and Micah at least,
Darth Ambivalus.
Darth Harmonic.
And because we have two guests,
Darthus Pincus. Darthus Pincus.
I so really need another one of those.
What about, we'll come up with an idea afterwards.
Yeah. But
Alyssa's stepping in today because we just finished recording Nick Snacks, which you're listening to this live, you're like, wait a minute. Nick Snacks doesn't air until after this. How did they? It's time travel. We saw all about it in Marvel. Mm-hmm. And we are
from the future.
And the past.
The future is now.
Yep.
When will then be now?
Just now. It just passed.
When?
Now.
Just passed again?
This is now.
I don't get it.
It's from Spaceballs.
Come on, Star Trek.
Catch up.
What is it? When will then be now? And he's like, soon.
Very soon.
I love that. I've been watching some old movies lately, when I have the time. And one recently was Down Periscope. And it holds up to the test of time really well. If you haven't seen it or you're young like Alyssa, it's about a cast of miscreant sailors who are selected to participate in some war games by a very angry three-star general who wants to just punish this guy for having a tattoo on his wiener.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just gives him command of an old diesel submarine, which is actually on display in San Francisco Bay. That's the submarine they used. And they went out going up against nuclear subs, and they were just the biggest dimwits and goofballs. But it does truly hold up in time.
Absolutely.
Sounds great.
I do. I mean, they have a mutiny, so they send somebody, make them walk the plank from a submarine in the middle of the ocean.
Pretty good.
They're on radio silence and complete silence inside. And Buckman, who is the chef, lets out the biggest fart you ever hear in cinema. And of course, the other submarine listening in on sonar is like, "What was that?" He's like, "It sounded like an explosion." Oh my gosh. Just silly 90s humor that kind of we lack in these days.
It's true.
The fingernails in the food, but the Band-Aid was holding on the fingernail.
You fat ass moron. Yep. Yesterday, it was a Band-Aid. Well, the Band-Aid was holding the fingernail on.
Good stuff.
I feel like I just saw the movie.
Yeah. Well, no, you didn't. Just wait until you do see it. Anyhow, we have Chris Smith in studio today. Chris, we've had you on. Actually, we had your son James on before.
Yeah.
He helped us review a couple of things maybe a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see James the other night when I hosted May the 4th Star Wars Trivia, where you and your buddy Todd had a nice booth set up with, custom-made, Mandalorian helmets and etched glassware and silly signs. You could make your own customizable hat and mm-hmm. these neat little dragon figures and stuff too. So tell us about Radically Rad Bad Boys 3D Printing, Greeley, Colorado Incorporated.
So close.
Oh gosh, I think so. We're a lot of words, didn't I?
So I'm totally rad builds, hello.
Oh,
and
Todd,
he's One-Eyed Creations, and if you ever meet Todd, you'll know why. It's One-Eyed Creations, fantastic name. Todd takes care of a lot of the laser engraving, like your bourbon glasses. He does shirts. He does hats. He can make leather patches, several different things, really totally customizable. Flasks. Whatever you, yeah, flasks. He made you an Ahsoka decal for your Tesla.
Yes, I've named my car Ahsoka. So unfortunately, I can't get my a couple of those scratches fixed until August.
Figures.
And my ceramic coating that I want to put on, so Ahsoka won't be on full proud display until late summer. Which just
hurry up and wait.
Yep.
And then for very impatient.
And then for me, we both work out of the State Armory Event Center downtown. Fantastic building, location, a lot of history there. Turned 100 this last November, so it's been a part of Greeley for a long, long time.
Congratulations. You
and,
don't look it.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I'm like a fine boxed wine. I age well. Yes.
You've aged so well it doesn't age anymore.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's like a Clooney. It's fantastic. So, and then for me, I got into 3D printing about 2 years ago and started off with one printer. It's actually in my bedroom, and you get used to sleeping with that sound every single night. It's fantastic. Over the last couple years, I've upgraded. I've got 10 different printers. I have a resin printer now, and it's kind of going crazy. And I kind of found my niche.
I like niche.
Thank you.
Alyssa?
Niche.
Yeah.
Niche approved.
Yep.
So kind of found my niche in Star Wars stuff. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Absolutely love it. And you've got to take joy and not only joy but pride in what you do. And so it's kind of where I landed. And I love making helmets. You know, these things aren't 501st approved. They're not fantastic, you know, quality.
Stop underselling yourself. They are fantastic. They are exceptional for their price point.
Thank you so much. Yes. And so
we don't do negative talk here. That's Micah. And Micah's out of the building. So
exactly.
I cannot take that void when Micah's away from his desk.
He's back.
Okay, good.
But we do several. I do several events every single year. We were at the 477 at the distillery. Shout out to 477. We love that place. And then also heading down to Colorado Springs Comic Con in August. When those tickets come on sale, if they're not already on sale, they're going to be sold out pretty quick every year. It's a fantastic event, but yeah, just absolutely love making the helmets, and I take custom orders. We do little articulating dragons. We've got tikis, little figures. We can make chess sets. Really, that's the great thing with 3D printing. It's really whatever you want, and it's a lot of fun. So
now there's a lot of work, of course, that goes on behind the scenes, but you know, in a past life, I've had several past lives. I think I'm like a cat, and I think I'm probably on life 8 right now, so I got to be really careful about what happens next.
At least not life 9.
That's why we call you Whiskers.
That is why.
Yep.
Yep.
But they called me Whiskers because I was curious like a cat.
Thank you.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. That's what a great SNL segment.
Thank you.
So, you know, a lot of work goes into, and in the old days, you had to mold clay and shape it, and there could be no imperfections, because if you're vacuum forming anything or even, you know, putting silicone over it to cast something later on, I mean, any microscopic detail would show up. And so it's painstaking work. We bonded over Bondo yesterday when and I met. Bondo. When I die of lung cancer, it's because of the Bondo that I ingested and inhaled for 3 years. Very toxic stuff. It's like asbestos. Fun fact about asbestos, that was used as snow in the original Wizard of Oz. So if anyone is still alive from that 1939 film, you might have a class action suit against the production company for using asbestos as snow.
Probably not, because I don't think they would have known about that then.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
If you were a loved one, anyway. that'll be the commercials. Find those for break, Micah.
Yep.
We'll have all those just class action suits. I think I took Tylenol PM once. I'm going to – yeah. Anyhow, where was I? Oh, yeah. So 3D printing, and I'm curious to ask you this. The printer – does a lot of the work. So does that take away the, I guess, blood, sweat, and tears of artists from 20 years ago who had to literally mold everything by hand and with tools, opposed to just, I don't know, do you take a picture of something and it just goes into a computer and gets printed? Do you have to have the schematics for it? How does that work?
So how that works is I don't do any design, 3D design. That's way above my knowledge level at this point. But there is a guy, his name's Aaron. He's out of Iowa, and he has this
Aaron.
He has this – test me one more time. But he's got this he does all the 3D printing designs, and he has this business called the Galactic Armory. And I subscribe to him every single year, and gives me the rights to, you know, sell his items commercially. And
so to get him in like a PDF,
and so
not a PDF.
How that works is it's a 3D render, a file. It's an STL file. Mm. You take that STL file and you drag it into a slicing software like Cura. Ultimaker Cura is what I use, and then you actually work on that file. It takes several hours to work on one, to get it just right, so that the support structures, if there's any holes, anything that needs to be filled, things like that. So you in essence, you don't design it, but you're setting it up to print.
Interesting.
When that process is done, you slice it into a code, a bunch of ones and zeros, a digital code, and you save that on a external SD card. You plug that into the printer, and that's basically what is telling your 3D printer XYZ axis, what to go, what millimeters per seconds to move, and how to do it. And it's like a fantastic hot glue gun. So, yeah.
All right, I got a lot of bones to pick with this. When we come back after this break on the Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, we'll be right back. Nerd Show here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are missing our co-host, Scott Magerflesh.
Darth Monger.
Wow, you sexied that up. That's odd.
You heard that before.
I thought I heard something that was deeper and more scary.
No, that's the other one.
Darth Monger.
I thought Kelly did another one that was in between.
No, this is Kelly.
Darth Monger.
Anyway, yeah, that is
fair enough.
Kelly Zielman, Scott's future bride, and you know what? I'm going to just say I think I'm the person who can find a silver lining anywhere. Mm-hmm. When I did not successfully pass a Series 66 by two measly questions, mm-hmm. probably the two I went back and second guessed myself.
Yeah, probably.
Anyhow, I'm very grateful for the other opportunity, and I think I'm going to slay this time. And I know what that means now.
Yes!
Good for you.
Bet. I know what bet means, too.
Okay. It's scary world. Gen Z language coming out of Nick's mouth.
Slaying it.
I know.
Boots on the ground.
B-O-G. Right?
Yes, the bog.
On the worst.
I'm bogging it.
Where was I?
Scott Kelly, silver lining.
Oh, yeah. So I would have had to travel for my job. Over the course of their week of celebrations. So fortunately now I'm going to be in town for that.
Fantastic.
And
get to enjoy nights of debauchery.
Mm-hmm. They are just the best.
They are simply the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Better than all the rest.
Even.
Wow.
It's crazy.
So we're here with Chris Smith of Totally Rad Builds.
It's totally rad.
Totally rad. I love it. Totally very rad. 80s. I like your shirt. Very 80s and retro. Not like retrograde, in which we're going to talk about in the future with Knickknacks.
It's true.
But, fantastic.
Gosh, it's like seeing the future. This is neat.
I love it.
So going back to the 3D printing, you know, part of me, this is just exciting. Technology has advanced so far and can mm-hmm. make, for me, I was an artist in a practical effects studio, but not an artist like you'd imagine. Of, oh, wow, Nick can create things and draw really well. No, I was really good with fine details and mm-hmm. painting and vacuum forming, and even was molding my own, not my own, but for the company, Snowtrooper Commander helmet. And it took me probably 30 hours into that, and it still wasn't even like perfect
to
go to that stage. So, you know, on one hand, I'm a little bitter from past Nick and our industry that had to work so hard to make those molds and creations, especially when we were doing some projects for a famous film for a galaxy far away.
Mm-hmm.
Of those things take so long to cure. But now, I mean, some prints could take hours, but. Mm-hmm. Beyond my animosity toward, back in my day, we had to do it by hand. But I think it's really neat how this can be a tool that literally anyone can use if they have the access and the resources for it to really tap into that creative mind. And just beyond the printing, you can custom paint it. You can design it however you want. You can piecemeal, you know, costumes together, whether it's, you know, Predator and an orc, or, you know, a little bit of Mando with Stormtrooper. I don't anything like that you can do. So mm-hmm. I think it just opens up the possibilities for even kids even. I had a student, a trumpet student of mine, who 3D printed a mouthpiece.
Fantastic.
That's cool.
And I just like, that's really neat.
Mm-hmm. It is really neat.
And I was touched because, you know, he printed something musically and not, you know, robotically, but he just wanted to impress me, and he did. It was really cool. So yeah. Anyway, I digress and say I'm past Nick is upset, but current Nick and even future Nick in the next series, next episode, is happy for the opportunities of creativity that is really, I think, just being stamped out literally everywhere.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing could be said for almost any practice. You know, there's always, if there's something that people can love, somebody's going to find a way to get it to the most amount of people. You know, the same thing can be said for listening to music that's made in a studio versus mm-hmm. music that's made live. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I'm sure the people that I have 3D printed things too. It's just cool to have a little replica of something that represents something so much bigger, and it's, you get to have it and make it your own, and you know somebody else loved it and enough to want to make it. And
absolutely,
yeah, what are your limitations on a 3D printer? I mean, I know like size and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. can't have something that's kind of small to build, I don't know, a big helmet, or even we call them BFGs, big effing guns. Yep. Or, and that's what when I troop with, when I'm a stormtrooper, mm-hmm. I got one of those massive rifles that some stormtroopers and sand troopers carry in Episode 4, A New Hope of Star Wars. We didn't have a show last week. Scott and I were able to see Return of the Jedi in theaters. It was fantastic. I'd never seen it in theaters before because I'm a youngin', as Scott calls me. Anyway, I digress. God, it's been a lot of that today.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's
still... So, yeah, what are limitations on just a basic printing of, I don't know, that you did not expect when you first went into this 3D printing venture?
Yeah, and so going back to what you said before, I think there's a lot of misconceptions with 3D printing. It's definitely not a plug-and-play type of thing. There's a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of technology to learn. You have to, just like anything else, you have to know how to maintenance and take care of your mm-hmm. machines and tune them in a way. You know, prints do not come out perfect. There's layer lines all over the place. You still have to bondo, sand, repeat, mm-hmm. repeat, repeat, just like your shampoo. Just rinse, lather, repeat over and over. There's still painting. There's still post-processing. There's still research on exactly what do you want to do. And there's a lot of, you know, fun. There's just a lot of fun outlets that come from that. You know, like you saw the little helmets that, you know, I made for my two sons, the Mandalorian foundling mm-hmm. helmets. You know, it's just come up with your own story. Come up with your own backstory. Make mm-hmm. it your own and have a great time with it. As far as limitations go, I really would have to say, like, your limitations with 3D printing is just yourself. You can really come up with just about anything. There are several people out there that are super talented with 3D modeling and can come up with a lot of things. Size is not an issue with 3D printing.
As Yoda says, size matters not.
It matters not. And yes, it's very wise. And as you go and as you continue and as you, you know, kind of perfect the craft, you learn little tricks of the trade, little things like that, and, you know, using a soldering gun to place things together, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just endless.
That was always fun for me, but soldering things.
Of course.
I had fun. I really did enjoy that. And for me, it's a creative outlet now. I still have a new Stormtrooper costume to build and retire my old one that's been screen used. I'm going to put on a mannequin and display it proudly. And then I build my new one, which is even more screen accurate than even the original that I had. And then build a second one to sell. If anyone's looking for a full Stormtrooper costume, and especially if you live in northern Colorado, want to learn to build one next to me, my garage is open when I am home and working on it, and that's about it.
But, fantastic.
Chris, your products are amazing. Totally rad builds at gmail.com?
You can actually do chris@totallyradbuilds.com.
Chris, that's with a C-H.
C-H-R-I-S.
That's amazing. At totallyradbuilds, just how it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just get in touch with Chris if you want to check it out. Just cool stuff. Really excited to see you grow your business as you venture off on this this amazing new path of creativity and artistry.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
This has been Chris Smith. We're going to be back with some nerd talk after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Rookie mistake.
Rookie.
Boo Alyssa.
I know. Well, I
Go
know how you
feel. Go back to the Knick Snacks.
I know how you feel about nerds anyway.
I like nerds.
All
just
right.
I won't say anything else.
All right. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We've got Chris Smith, who with Totally Rad Builds, Alyssa Sanchez filling in for Scott, unbeknownst to her, because we were just pre-recording Knick Snacks, and mm-hmm. she's just staying along, because we have a live show. This is going to be yesterday at 5 o'clock, so we're really busting through these segments. But Micah, of course, behind the glass, where we're going to talk about I think the biggest story right now is the writer's strike. And mm-hmm. I haven't seen a writer's strike since 2008.
What? It's been 15 years.
Yeah, so 15 years. And I remember, there are some good things that came from the writer's strike.
Yes.
One, the writers got better pay and treatment. But two, Neil Patrick Harris had the idea to create something with other actors called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog.
Captain Hammer.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. And it stars Nathan Fillion from Firefly and, of course, Neil Patrick Harris. And it's this 45-minute musical of he's Dr. Horrible trying to get in the evil League of Evil and keeps failing and failing and failing because of Captain Hammer. And then finally it comes down to he has to kill somebody only for it to turn out that in his heist that he kills the love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he got into the evil League of Evil.
Yeah.
It's tragic. It's fantastic.
It's so good.
It is hands down. I mean, it's the music's just witty and fun. And they just did it on, I think, either Neil Patrick Harris's or – no, it was who did all the Avengers stuff?
Josh Whedon?
Yeah, I think Josh Whedon was a part of that too.
Firefly. There you go.
Yeah, and of course he worked with Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm. So it's phenomenal. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it's cheesy, but it's powerful and has some really good moments and musical aspects. And you get actors who – I think they even paid some of the writers to do that too because they're good people.
Yep.
But we're in the midst of a writer's strike right now, so of course lots of headlines are coming out about that, mm-hmm. of which I kind of want to dig into a couple of them to see what the reactions are. So The Lord of the Rings, The Ring of Power, Rings of Power, which we know is Micah's, I think, top TV show from last year.
You mean top most hated TV show?
Sure. No,
second most hated.
Well, God, Micah. Mm.
Picard ruined Guinan, so.
There's no pleasing you.
What's Guinan's last name? Kalji?
Guinan.
Oh. Come on,
really
Alyssa.
Nice.
Samsonite.
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though. So The Rings of Power is going to continue filming season two without their, what do they call them?
Showrunners?
Showrunners, yes.
What?
And showrunners fall under the Writers Guild. So they've opted to go. And I don't know enough about the directors for, who directed what. I would be more fluent with what's happening in the Star Wars world. And to me, that is kind of worrisome. So we'll come back to this,
no,
too.
Oh, no, I think it's actually a good thing.
Micah, stop.
Because the showrunner, the show was bad.
You know, Micah, we're not going to go into that. Your negativity ceases at the glass.
We can't hear you.
You put the ass in glass.
Let me turn my microphone up louder.
Oh, okay. So then we have the
Stranger
opposite
Things
happening.
Also?
Stranger Things.
Yes, I saw that.
Where the Duffer Brothers announced that they will not start filming until this writer's strike is over, so they can utilize the writers and the showrunners. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Star Wars Andor Season 2, which will directly lead up to Rogue One. Mm-hmm. So this will likely – I mean, it has to be the finale of Andor because he – spoiler alert, does not survive Rogue One.
It's also affecting Blade as well.
Blade.
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But Andor's done filming, so they're fine. And so is Ahsoka, so that's fine. But here are the two sides you have. You have one, Stranger Things, which is a phenomenal series, but they've been criticized by fans for waiting too long in between seasons. I think it was 3 years between season 4 and 5, right?
It was a lot.
And now it could be, I mean, we're already a year past almost. From last season, and however long this writer's strike goes, could be another 2 years until we get Stranger Things. By then, I mean, these kids are going to be 25 years old, you know, and have kids maybe by then. Mm-hmm. So is that a risk to upset fans of, okay, we got back-to-back, I think, early on, and then a little delay, and then a lot delay, and then now we have an unknown delay. And I think
it's not going to go on this long. And we did not have so many people with Twitter accounts. We didn't have so many people with. We didn't have so many people with TikTok accounts.
Mm-hmm. No, Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
Twitter.
So Twitter. There weren't so many like social media accounts. Mm-hmm. I think fans are going to get really upset really quickly if this goes longer than 2 weeks. I would be surprised if it goes a month.
Well, I think it has to go long enough for their shows to be impacted. So let's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, even
shows are so already like they're already announcing that shows are being impacted. So fans are already panicking. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not really being impacted.
I think the announcement is like, oh crap. But I think once it hits, I don't know. And these are all fair points. I worked on a Universal Studios set and. I mean, it was 16 plus hours a day of nonstop work. I mean, when they're not calling anything to roll cameras, it's dead silent. Once they yell cut, I mean, they're constructing new parts in the warehouse, in the studio. I mean, I know there aren't showrunners, but they're also there making adjustments and tweaks. So it's not something that can just easily be picked up again. And I don't know enough about this strike to know what they're working for, whether it's better pay or more amenable hours.
It's a number of things. It's better pay. It's also they're looking for more transparency from the studios because there's a feeling, from what I've gleaned from an article I read, there's a feeling from some of the writers that maybe the studios are saying, oh, this show is really, really popular, when it's actually not as popular. So they want to see some of the numbers behind the numbers. And also there are like some temporary writers who aren't getting as much money, and I don't know what those writers are called.
Well, we know it's pennies on the dollar for pennies on the hundreds of dollars than when actors are paid.
Yeah, and what I was texting you earlier today was I think that if the studios don't have the money, which I think they probably do have the money, if they didn't have to have the money, they'd have to go to the union and open their books and say, this is the trouble we are in. But I don't think that's the case. They're making a lot of money. The problem is they're making too many things. Yeah. They're wasting so much money, especially Paramount Plus is wasting a lot of money. And right now Paramount Plus needs to diversify because they're just Star Trek.
Or die.
And CBS. And I think Paramount stock has been going down the last few days.
I've been watching the stock market pretty closely, one, because it's now part of my job, but two, it's an impact. And, you know, I will say as a bitter past lifer that all I wanted for working on a really amazing product was for my name to be in the credits. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And it was like, oh, my gosh, that could have been such a cool flex. And just know that I was recognized as a subcontractor of a subcontractor of this major film studio that everyone knows. And you know, looking through, they list the person who fetched the actor who played Chewbacca's coffee. What did they actually contribute? I mean, I'm
Chewbacca's coffee?
Fair, but
he was a part of a union.
Not, yeah, that's fair. So I know how hard they work. And a lot of times actors, I mean, rightfully get credit for their product. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Bill Hader in Barry. Love him. It's fantastic. But, you know, the director's getting a lot. Cool. Yeah, you directed it. But who's really at the core of the story? It's the writers. The directors write this. Mm-hmm. The showrunners are guiding the show in its direction. So.
And also, a lot of times, it's studio interfering with things that make it bad. Take a look at the DCEU.
Oh, so much
studio interference.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking for myself and not Scott or Micah, but I support the writers' strike and hope that they get everything that they're going out for and hope this doesn't impact the nerddom as much as it probably will. But you know what? We've had 15 years of wonderful TV. It's about dang time that these story writers and creators get the proper credit. That's my view. Micah? I don't know what you're saying.
I support the writers who are good. The writers who are bad, I hope they all get fired. McDonald's is hiring.
Wow.
That's Micah. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. I might be gone because I have not yet seen Star Wars Vision, so Micah and Chris may have that discussion on some of the episodes because I don't like spoilers. But stay tuned. We'll be back with more of The Nerd Show.
Welcome back to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. This segment, Chris, you and I are going to talk about Star Wars Visions Season 2 on Disney Plus. Chris, have you seen all of them?
I have not seen all of them. I've seen the first two episodes.
Okay, so not the two that I like.
Yeah, I haven't got there yet. I was a little bit, you know, at the beginning let down, just a little bit, but I keep watching them over and over, and I'm like, okay, it's very artsy, right? And so I can appreciate that. Well, so.
They're all very artsy. They're all supposed to be very artsy. I'm not a fan of anime. And last year, everything was, I believe, from Asian studios, from like Korea and especially Japan. And that doesn't speak to me. I did not like last season. This season, and I did not read much up on it until I started watching, this season they went further across the world, and they had a studio in France. They had a studio in India. They had a studio or two in – I know there was at least one studio in Britain. But have you seen Wallace and Gromit?
I have not.
Okay. So the studio that did Wallace and Gromit did one of these. The most kid-friendly version. That's episode 4, which is the dumbest one in my mind. But it's also like – it's also meant for kids.
Sure.
But there was no Wallace and Gromit feeling to it.
Yeah.
It had the animation, but it
didn't have
the humor.
I'm almost on the other side of the spectrum. Like I grew up watching anime back on Cartoon Network whenever we would get Dragon Ball Z that would come on after school. I grew up with that. I'm still an avid anime watcher with One Piece and different shows like that. And so I'm enjoying the art form and enjoy the storytelling that comes with that culture and that art form. And so
what did you think of season one?
I absolutely loved season one.
Shows the difference between someone who likes anime and someone who cannot stand it.
Absolutely. Yep.
I thought the storytelling was just dumb in so many of the episodes, especially the twins.
Sure.
That one was just – I got so frustrated with it. As soon as they got outside the Death Star, I'm done. I turned it off and gave it a zero.
Yes. No, I can understand that. But no, I really do – everything about that, everything about anime, I really enjoy. And I do feel like the storytelling aspect of anime is fantastic. And there's a lot of great shows out there right now in that world that are tapping into some things and telling some stories that you could not do in any other way than that.
And maybe that's why Star Wars is doing this. Not just to reach across the world and say, we're going to reach out to more studios, more people, and get more fans, but also we want more of an artistic interpretation of our world.
Absolutely. And I think the longer that we go down the line with Star Wars, the more that we're seeing an expansive universe. There's so many stories within stories within stories that you can get into. And it's really perfect timing. You know, Star Wars Celebration, they announced that Japan next year, that's where they're going to be holding Star Wars Celebration, is in Japan. And so what great timing for that.
That's a great place to hold it.
Yeah.
A lot of nerds there.
Yeah. And they have a fantastic Star Wars fan base. Yeah, it would rival ours, dare I say. So
I wouldn't be too shocked.
Yeah.
If you're only going to watch three of these, I would say watch episode 3, episode 6, and episode 7. Now, I complained a lot about last year. I complained a lot, and I think I rated the season overall like a 4 or a 5 or something.
Okay.
This season overall, I'm giving it a 7.
Oh, okay.
There were a lot of shows that were 7s. There were two shows that were a 5 and a 6. But I have two shows that were an 8 and one that was a 9. And I was shocked by which one I liked. The one made in France.
Okay.
So it's episode 7.
7.
It's called, actually, no, it's episode 6. It's called The Spy Dancer.
Okay.
So it's about a dancer who owns like a dance hall, and she and her company are all spies. And people from the Empire go to watch her dance, and as they're dancing, she puts trackers on them so she can track them. And it is, the animation's not my favorite. The animation in this series is up and down.
Sure.
But the story itself, I thought, was told so beautifully for something that's just maybe 15 minutes long. I thought it was going to be really dumb. I hear the French accents, I'm like, and I see the, it's dancing. It's going to be dumb. But the story of a mother losing the son, her son, and then, you know, finding that, oh, the man who stole my son is right here, and I'm going to kill him. And then there's a twist, and how beautiful that twist is. The only thing that would have given it a 10, and I'm not going to spoil too much of it, it has a happy ending.
Sure.
And I like, it would have been, I think it would have been better if she had fallen to her death. I think it would have been more impactful if she had fallen to
That's
her
fair.
Death. More emotional, but I absolutely enjoyed this one. I was blown away. France, congratulations. You did something right. Applause.
Golf clap.
Another one, the third one, In the Stars. Now, that one's from Chile, however it's pronounced.
I actually think I did watch that one.
Yeah, that one, I liked the animation.
That's the one with the
deal.
Young kid and the sister, right? Okay, I have watched that one.
Yeah,
yes.
So it started off as kind of like, oh, the little girl's going to be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually, the animation was great. Loved the music in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Music, very
it was
creative.
Very claymation feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turned out to be, you know, really kind of beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it very much. Not as much as the French one. I gave that an 8. But it was really nice, and the music was beautiful. I'm a big fan of music. So, like, if music is great, I might give it an extra star or two.
Gotcha.
And then the last one, The Bandits of Golok, which is an Indian studio. And you can tell it's an Indian studio. It has Indian music. It has, you know, people from India, Indian accents. And it's a brother and sister on a train, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trying to protect her. He's protecting her. But as the story progresses, my interest started to progress.
Okay.
And I just, the animation from the beginning to the end, I enjoyed.
Oh, good for you.
But it just kept getting better, and I did not expect that. So maybe I just don't like the animation from Asia. Maybe that's just not my cup of tea.
But, sure.
And also, honorable mention to Ao's song. That is number 9. That's the last one. And that one, the animation was so wacky. it's just, it's a wacky animation style. It's like every the texture of a tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to describe it as the texture of a tennis ball.
That's interesting.
And like needle and thread, like that, you know. But it was quite fascinating. I loved the animation. For some reason, it shouldn't work, but it did.
Yeah.
It was a weird story, but it just worked.
Oh, good.
For some reason.
And that's the great thing about all of these episodes. You're dealing with, 13 to 15 minutes for an episode. So if you've got a quick lunch break or you've got some time, you know, away from the kiddos for a couple seconds, you can tune in and watch one of those. So what's your overall rating for that, for Visions as a whole?
For Visions as a whole this season, I gave it a 7 because there were a lot of 7s and there were some low points. But overall, I have to say I'm rather positive about it.
Am I hearing you say you might give it the stamp of approval?
It has to be 8 or above.
Oh, 8.5 or above. Man, we're so close.
Yeah, I'm giving it – I'm feeling positive about it. And it's mostly from those 3 stories that were told.
Yep. A lot of great things coming in the future for Star Wars, seeing other perspectives, other cultures. It's fantastic.
Well, everybody, stay tuned for Nick Snacks. Nerds, you stay nerdy.